Hey, thanks for joining us on the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. If you'd like more information on C3 Church, please visit myc3church.net. We hope you enjoy this message.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album, is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today.
We lift you up, we worship you. Oh, thank you for coming and worshiping with us this morning, God. You're in the midst of your people here today. Oh, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Out of the overflowing cup that is Jesus, we'll live our lives. Oh, just get filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's get filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah. And they were filled again. And they were filled again. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Something happens when we worship. We relocate on the inside. We travel. The distance we travel on the inside is extraordinary. Can we thank Leland Mooring this morning and our worship team? Thank you. Woo! Church, you may be seated. Oh, where you are, what a great song. I don't know if you know much about that song, but Leland wrote that in California. He's in a house where the atmosphere wasn't so great. He started to feel a heaviness and depression come into that place, and God told him to start to worship, and he did. And all of a sudden the song came, and God said, I'm wherever you are. And that's where that came. Let's thank him again for that. Thanks, Em. Incredible stuff, huh? Can you raise your hand this morning? If you're a visitor to our church, can I see that hand? Just raise it. There's something we'd like to bring and give to you. Come on, let's welcome these people. Lift up your hand if you're visiting us for the first time. Someone up the back here. Wonderful. Welcome to our beautiful church. We're just so glad you can be here. And we're in this series on community. We're talking about community, confidence in community, which is interesting. I said in the chapel service this morning, when I figure that out, I'll let you know what it means. Confidence in community. But really, what we're talking about is health, spiritual health, yeah? We're talking about health and maturity as the people of God. And we had a great worship night on Wednesday night in the chapel. It was a wonderful night where we combined with the college. And we had a terrific time there in the presence of God. And that's what happens. Worship's dangerous because the distance you travel is amazing. And what He does, see, we're changed on the inside. God is unchanging, but we change. We go somewhere. Things are broken off our lives. We had a great time worshiping. And I look back on it now and I think all of the things that came out of that night and things that people said. But when the body of Christ comes together, relationships are healed. Things change in the midst of our worship. And it's not just health and maturity with each other, it's health and maturity with God. That's a relationship that we need to take care of. And relationships with each other and with God, they're worth fighting for, yeah? They're worth fighting for. It's something that we need to go after. And, you know, I ask a lot of questions, but asking the right questions is so important. Low-value questions get low-value answers, but high-value questions get high-value answers. I wrote this question down, or a few of them here. How's it supposed to work? How do you coexist with other believers while remaining your authentic self? And how do you function well? Everybody say function well with others and remain unified. These are great questions that we need to ask. There's a great scripture here in Philippians chapter 2. And before, maybe we can throw that up on the screen. You know, this is from the Passion Translation. And I just want to say this before I read this question. Sometimes we overplay it in relationships. You know, we start to do things that we think are going to make relationships better. We start to strive, overplay, overdo it, do the sorts of things that we think are going to add value to a relationship. And in actual fact, they actually take away, they subtract from the quality of our relationships in community. Can I say this morning that you cannot give something you don't possess? If you're not in possession of Jesus, you can't give away Jesus. You've got to be in possession of Christ. And our lives need to be lived out of the overflow. And the overflow that is in Jesus. Let's look at Philippians. Let's read this off the screen. Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with His comforting love. What else does it say? You've experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit. We've just done that in worship. A deepening relationship with the Holy Spirit and have felt His tender affection and mercy. That's what happens when we worship. we draw closer. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity. Notice that they're inseparable. We worship God, but we're getting joined together in perfect unity. One heart, one passion, and united in one love. Everybody say one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unabounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first. Put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider the example that is Jesus, the Anointed One. He has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. You know, there's two words I want us to become super familiar with this morning. And the first one is differentiation. I'm big on this. I've been studying this. I've been reading about this. And differentiation, we've got a working definition that our amazing designers, where's Brian Lowe? I just want to honor this guy. Just stand up, Brian. We don't get to honor our designers. They're always behind the scenes. What a terrific guy. Excellent. Brilliant at what he does. Hard worker behind the scenes. And he did these designs and graphics for me. Differentiation, remaining connected to people, yet not allowing our responses or behaviors to be determined by them. My conviction is this: if we are going to change the world, which is what we're called to do, it's a cultural mandate. If we're going to transform the world, we first must be transformed. Otherwise, it's false economy. We run the ad, but we don't run the story. Right? It doesn't work that way. Differentiation. And, you know, there's so many biblical figures. The thing I love about the Bible is it doesn't spin the flaws or the weaknesses or the failings of its heroes. It's very authentic. It's very true. But in the same breath, there's certain figures in the Bible that were incredibly differentiated, and as a result, that made all the difference. Consider David. I love David. Anybody else love David? We've got a David in the house this morning. My goodness. David was highly differentiated. Up on the hill, worshiping God, didn't mind the lowly task of tending his father's sheep, playing his guitar, writing his worship songs. His father didn't understand him. His brothers rejected him. Saul wanted to kill him. Some people thought he was an illegitimate son. I mean, that's not a great start. Run out of options, but he ran to God. And out of that, he was differentiated. Now, here's what's incredible about him. When Goliath came up with the armies of Israel, came up against it, everyone's paralyzed, terrorized with fear. David's like, why doesn't somebody do something about this? Right? And they're saying, you're conceited, you're arrogant, you've got no experience. He said, well, I'll do it. And as a result, what did he do? He changed the course of the history of Israel forever. He broke the Mosaic law. He brought in psalms, dancing, clapping, singing, a new wave of worship. Come on. Woo! Thank you, God, for people like David. Consider Daniel, 600 years BC, was taken away to serve in Babylon after Israel was besieged. What did he do? He differentiated himself. He set himself apart. He distinguished himself. There were things that he refused to do, still honored, came from royalty in Israel, still honored where he was, but he differentiated himself by not defiling himself, by not stopping praying when it was unpopular. Consider Jesus himself. He knew what he was anointed to do. None of our gifts were meant to function without the anointing. Jesus knew what he was anointed to do. The disciples didn't want him to crush his Palestinian ministry. It was a powerful empire. He was like a rock star in the ancient world. Everywhere he went, crowds. But he knew what he was anointed to do, and he made no apologies. He differentiated himself. His parents thought he was nuts. And then, of course, there's Paul, who set himself apart. And he's the figure we identify with the most, talking about unity all through the New Testament. And he planted all of these churches throughout the empire. And in 2 Corinthians, you read about how these super apostles came in to try and take over the church when he wasn't there. And you'd imagine that you'd be slightly upset about that, right? You kind of think, hang on a minute, this is my turf. I've bled over this. I've planted this. This has come out of Revelation. But he does one better. He differentiates himself. And he doesn't play the super apostle game and start comparing revelations. He goes, no, I'm going to boast in my reliance on God. I'm going to boast about the things that I am reliant on God for. Because it's in my weakness that I cry out to God. That's when his grace is fulfilled. That's where his power is maximized. That's where my life changes. Right? He boasts. He differentiated himself and he walked away from what would have been the common behavior. In Philippians, when we read about that, Paul is talking about something equally as powerful as differentiation. He's also talking about integration. And you can't talk about differentiation without talking about integration. See, this is the irony of us living in the body of Christ. We have to differentiate ourselves. We have to stay connected, but not allow our behaviors and our responses to be masked and the absence of authenticity. But we also have to integrate at the same time. Have a look at this. Mark Kelsey's the king of the kids when he preaches this, and he's been doing it for years. So let's throw up this vertical component of the cross. And this has got to do with our spiritual health. Everybody say spiritual health. This is the vertical journey to God. It deals with things like living in committed community that passionately loves Jesus above all else. And that's what we're doing here today, right? It deals with awakening and surrendering to God's love in every situation. That's really giving Him, lovingly allow Him access, all access into our lives. It deals with communing with God and practicing a life of unceasing prayer. That's all types of prayer, verbal prayer, silent prayer, taking time with God. It's finding the true essence of who we are in God. When Jesus says, I'm looking for worshipers who worship me in spirit and in truth, He's talking about coming as you are. Not coming polished, not coming perfect, but coming to worship. That's worshiping in spirit and truth. And the fifth one is loving others out of a life of love for God. That's again, that's the overflow. That's the overflow. And that's the vertical component of the cross. But you cannot have a crucifix without a horizontal component. Let's throw it up and have a look. This deals with emotional health. Everybody say emotional health. Two Ryans in the corner, it's a bit dangerous. Okay, emotional health deals with how we treat one another. And the integration of these two are critical. It's taking responsibility for ourselves without interfering with other people's responsibilities. I just want to stop on that point for a second, because sometimes in the name of Jesus, we try to help each other and it possibly doesn't always come from the greatest place. But really, we're meant to walk side by side with each other and continue to point one another to Christ. Not to take responsibility for other people, but to take responsibility for ourselves. Often the reason we get anxious or we get depressed or we get nervous is because we've taken on a responsibility and tried to start to live a life that we were never called to live. What's number two? Resolving conflict maturely and negotiating solutions that consider the perspective of others. Nothing could be more loving than doing that. We actually take the time in our relationships. I've got a lot of friends that I've been with close to for the last 20 years, but our relationships have hit another level since we've all turned 40. Relationships take time. Vulnerability doesn't just happen straight away. It's worth fighting for. It's worth digging in and pushing in and waiting and praying about, because I tell you, the rewards of that fellowship with one another are enormous. That's number three, initiating and maintaining close and meaningful relationships. And one of the loudest messages of the body of Christ we will ever preach. One of the loudest messages we'll ever preach is staying connected when we possibly don't always agree on things. Unity is a spirit. It's not a constant thought, right? Together we have the mind of Christ. It's collective. So there are going to be times when we don't always see it from the same perspective, but we're unified in our spirit. What's number four? Respecting and loving others without having to change them. Respecting and loving others without having to change them. None of us are called to judge or criticize or be intolerant towards another person's spiritual journey. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we walk into the room or we catch up with our friends, or when we are in interpersonal relationships where we're catching up, chatting, the Holy Spirit should turn up every time. When we're in connect, when we're in fellowship, the Holy Ghost should turn up. It should be a moment where we feel the flood of the Holy Spirit. We feel the river of the Holy Spirit. And number five, accurately self-assessing our strengths, limits, and weaknesses and freely sharing them with others. You cannot have the vertical component of the cross without the horizontal. And accurately self-assessing our strengths and weaknesses has got to do with having trusted companions. And unfortunately, the older you get, the list of your trusted companions gets shorter. But that's okay. The fact that we do have them. When you actually share what's going on in your life with a trusted companion that God has brought you into your life, because God does give you those relationships, things are broken. You don't have to figure out all out on your own. There's something in the exchange that takes place. There's something in the exchange that takes place when we share our burdens with one another. Not that we dump on each other, but that we share, and in that flow, things are broken. Things are broken off our lives. It's an amazing thing. Let's thank God for that, because that's this integration. And we've got a working definition here. Where's Ryan Kerrison? He's in the house. Probably not, he's out doing property. Well, Ryan Kerrison, he'll probably be here tonight, but we're working on this together. And you might think this is a simple definition, but when you rework things over and over and over and over and over again, you condense things, refine things, and get to the real heart of what you're trying to say. And integration for us as believers, I believe, is this definition here, which is making the connection between spiritual health and emotional health as a means of holistic Christian living. See, confidence in community requires us to integrate the components of both emotional and spiritual health. That's when things are maximized. Can I just get the band up here, Leland and the guys? Is that okay? I know this is a very short preach this morning. I do want to say this in closing before we just stand. We're gonna worship a little again. But I do want just everyone to close their eyes this morning before we enter into this. And I just want to get a show of hands. This is a moment that is discreet. We respect these moments. But if you're a visitor here to the church for the first time, or maybe you haven't been around for a while and you've come back, or perhaps you've never been in an environment like this at all, I just want you to lift your hand. If you want to receive Jesus this morning, I want you to give you that opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your life. Maybe you actually haven't enjoyed spiritual health in your life because you've been distant from Jesus. Maybe your relationships are fragmented and they're not working out. I want to give you an opportunity here this morning to find Jesus, not to leave without Jesus, but to leave possessing Jesus. When you've got Jesus in your life, everything starts to come together. I don't know how that is, but the overflowing cup that is Jesus starts to affect your whole life. Just lift your hand this morning if you're somebody who wants to receive Jesus. At the end of the service on this altar, we're going to pray for you. Just lift your hand so I can see it. Myself and a few of the other pastors will get a chance to pray for you. Is there anyone there this morning? Okay, a few hands this morning. If you didn't raise your hand, you're welcome to come down the front for some prayer. And Rich and Mark and a few others and myself will get to pray for you and just to actually give you an opportunity to draw close to Christ and to receive Him, have Him in your life. Can we stand this morning? This is my last point. I want us to close our eyes and to open our hearts again as we sing this, Where You Are. I do want to say this in closing, that part of our design, and when you fully realize it and absorb it, fits perfectly and beautifully inside the concept of community, because we are designed and fashioned and formed in the image of God. And God doesn't do things on His own. The Trinity, a triune being, goes hand to glove with our design. We have been designed as a triune being. We've got eternal components of ourselves and temporary components of ourselves. And when we fellowship with one another, right, we're all our life's experience, our choices, our values, our dreams, our goals, where we work, who we marry, who we fellowship, the friends we keep, that's all a unique personal decision to us. It's unique. We differentiate ourselves in that. But when we worship, right, when we worship, suddenly we experience unity of spirit, unity of heart. The thing that unites us and makes us all the same is that we are all on a journey of a lifetime being transformed into Christ's likeness. That's what unifies us. Can we lift our hands this morning? Yeah, go on, give God a hand, and then we'll lift our hands. You know, for perfect love, for God's perfect love to be maximized, it cannot exist on its own. It cannot exist on its own. It's got to be, let's come forwards, guys. It's got to be amongst others. For God's love to be maximized, there had to be more than just Him. There had to be a triune being so that His love was shared, but there was someone on the receiving end. We've been designed to function in that love, in that perfect love. I don't want to say too much. Let's just, spiritual intelligence, let it maximize this morning. Come on, let's sing this out. I just want to be where you are. Come on, let's worship, church. Lift Him up, every hand.
Oh. Everyone. What a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.